If you want to turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 28, Luke 19, 28 in your Bible. Today is Palm Sunday. Hallelujah. Wave your palm branches. Hail him as King. I don't know, some of you, if you saw my pastoral letter this week, but there was a poem in there by E.M. Poteet. Wave your palm branches, hail him as King, early on Monday. Wave your palm branches, hosannas sing, early on Monday. But where is the throng of the hurrying feet, the crown they would offer, his scepter, the king's seat? Their king wanders hungry, forgot in the street early on Monday. Jesus knew that loud hosannas, waving palm branches, wasn't an indication of the allegiance and devotion of the people that were there. And neither is it for us. We could wave palm branches today and march around the church. We could march through the streets. But what really matters today is what's happening in our hearts and who we understand Jesus to be. As we come to this scripture this morning, we realize that Jesus has had pretty much his earthly ministry. It's about to come to an end. It's going to end in 1 week. 1 week. So on this Sunday, he's coming into Jerusalem and he's preparing to go in there. And as he prepares, he very deliberately, as he is approaching Jerusalem, before he gets to the Mount of Olives, stops where he had spent a good portion of his life, and that is in Bethphage and Bethany. It's where his best friends lived. It's where Lazarus lived. And so Jesus, he could have just come over the mound. I've been there. I've seen it. He could have come over the mound. Bethphage and Bethany is just a little burg before you get into the city of Jerusalem. He could have just kept on going, but he didn't. He didn't keep on going. And the reason that he didn't is told in this scripture passage. He stopped at Bethphage and Bethany because Jesus knew that the Jews knew Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, the colt on the foal of a donkey." And Jesus declares, "I am humble and I am the Savior, and I am not riding in on a war horse. I am riding in on a colt, as testified by the prophecy in Zechariah." And so Jesus here shows his deliberateness to reveal who he is. He is the coming Messiah. He is the one who has been on a mission not to come and conquer the lands or the people or Rome, but to restore broken humanity, to restore a people who are broken by sin and depravity and pain and death, to restore them to their divinely created wholeness that will come on Good Friday, on Holy Saturday, and on Easter Sunday. And that is the kind of king that Jesus is calling us to follow in this passage. It is the king who has come to establish his own kingdom as he surrenders to death, to the power of God raising him, and invites us to surrender our lives in allegiance to Jesus and allegiance to his kingdom. So if you'll rise, We're going to read this very powerful passage this morning from Luke 19, beginning with verse 28. Hear the word of the Lord. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, his owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within the walls. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Blessed are they who hear God's word and live by it. Please be seated. I've had a lot of Palm Sundays. I've been in congregations where we actually had a donkey. We had Jesus on the donkey. We rode around right in the middle of the community, waving our palm branches. I've been in a community where we walked down the street, like walking down 340, and we just singing hosannas to the Lord, following Jesus on the donkey, waving palm branches right out in the middle of the town. That's interesting. It's interesting the comments you get as people are driving by. But there is a prophet that said, "Is it nothing to you who pass by? Is it nothing to you who pass by out there?" To the folks driving by, we Christians must look like we've lost it. Waving palm branches, singing hosanna, clapping our hands, dancing. Come on. Walking around the church parking lot, Jesus riding a donkey. How many of you would feel silly or self-conscious parading right down Route 340 like it, or 250 like it were everybody else can see you? Isn't this bizarre? Come on, Jesus. Sometimes Jesus asked his disciples to leave their families. To leave their families. To leave the security of their jobs and to follow him. And on Palm Sunday, Jesus asked two of his disciples to engage in a little livestock rustling. And when the time to enter Jerusalem finally was at hand, Jesus knew his entrance into the city. It was prophesied. It was the moment that Jesus stood up and made a statement, not by shouting with a megaphone, but by simply waiting at Bethphage and Bethany to reveal his messianic identity. Can you imagine the people there that day waving palm branches? He's the Messiah. He could be the Messiah. He's revealing his identity to us as Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem. Let's face it, it's kind of weird. Because before this Davidic loyalty, those in the line of David always rode white horses to coronation events. Kings never walked. And so Jesus, the King of the universe, needs a steed. And so Jesus says to two ordinary companions that are at his side, and you might have just come here for worship this morning trying to stay oblivious, but Jesus might have said, you and you. You go. What are you talking about? All I wanted to do was come and watch it. I didn't want to be involved in it. This is outrageous. But livestock was wealth in the first century. All of your investments, your inheritance, was typically literally on the hoof. You had to have livestock to survive. It was an agrarian culture. So a young colt, strong and vigorous, with a long life ahead of it, was an extremely valuable commodity. It was like you owning a Corvette today. Literally. Yet Jesus expects these two disciples to approach an animal, untie it, and simply walk off with it. Although Jesus acknowledges their actions might be questioned by the colt's owner, he says, if anybody gives you trouble, just say to them, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. How would you like it? In the middle of the day, your Corvette outside, suddenly the Corvette alarm sounds. It's howling. You run out to the vehicle and you see two kids sitting in the vehicle and they've got screwdrivers in their hands. And when you demand to know what in the world they think they're doing, they look at you and say, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. Of course, you smile and you nod your head and you hand over the keys, right? Maybe not. Maybe you've already called the police. Maybe you went and got your pepper spray and you peppered them before they could even tell you about it. Maybe you figure these guys are loony and you give them their space and you take down a full description for the authorities. The Lord needs it. It's not a phrase that commands a lot of respect these days. Hey, you have something the Lord needs. Come on. Hey, you have something the Lord needs. Come on. Now, it might bring some attention for a moment. You might get some strange looks and people think you're nuts. But would anyone really treat such a statement as a command performance? We need to understand that the disciples, those two disciples who went to claim the colt, were being asked to take a huge risk. They were being asked to act in a strange, unprecedented manner. Why did they do it? Because the Lord asked them to. Here we are, followers of Jesus Christ. We hail him as King this morning. We not only said that Jesus is the one who died for our sins and exchanged our sin for his righteousness, we've also said he's the coming one. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. We're going to meet him, and we are going to dance to our heart's content. Even if you, and Jesus said, I need it. I need you to dance. Will you dance? Will you dance? I need you to clap your hands. Will you clap your hands? I need you to tell that person in your neighborhood, you know, the ones that you passed by this morning, I need you to drive, roll your window down and say, the Lord needs you. The Lord wants you. The Lord loves you. I want to share with you the good news of the gospel. And people may think that it's bizarre, but we are asked to do it in the name of the Lord. So, is your servant profile this morning a low profile? Don't rock the boat. Show up on Sunday, get what you can kind of faith? Or are you sold out for Jesus? Are you sold out for Jesus? Are you surrendered? Are you in? Does he own your food? Does he own your Cadillac? Does he own your time? We talked a lot about time yesterday, that time is the thing. We don't have the time that keeps us from being able to serve Jesus. Are you in no matter what the cost? If Jesus were to say to you this morning, go and do this, go and get that, go and bring this, are you in? Would you say, the Lord needs it? You know, we have no trouble at all in our society dealing with the crazies, the over-the-top, out-of-control behaviors that die-hard sports fans exhibit. You might even be one. Paint yourself blue, go bare-chested in the end zone. Yay! Come on! Wear floppy ears, bark like a dog. Yeah! Why not? Stand in line and camp on the streets for days to get those tickets. You bet. Now, what if Christ needed you or I to do something even moderately off-center for him? Could you do it? Could I do it? And loves us and wants to call us into a relationship with him. That'd be pretty weird, huh? Jesus has already ridden into Jerusalem. And now Jesus is calling us to be his hands and his feet, his day by day, minute by minute, incarnation in this world when Jesus Christ needs to ask us for something or to do something for him. And that's what we talked about yesterday a lot. At the Refocus seminar, Andy Kester said several times, instead of taking money, and there's nothing wrong with this, absolutely nothing wrong with it, but instead of taking money and paying somebody else to do a mission, why don't I take that money, buy what I need to, and then go out and be the mission? Be the mission that Christ wants me to be. The only way God's love can provide a new home for a homeless family is if somebody hammers the nails. The only way God's joy can be expressed if it's our feet that are dancing. The only way that God's heart can break if our tears are flowing. The only way God's peace can endure is if our hearts put down the weapons of bitterness and meet our enemies at the cross of Jesus Christ. The Lord needs it. He needs it. And what is the it this Palm Sunday? What is the it that Jesus needs? It's you and I. We're it. You and I are the donkeys. We are the donkeys that Jesus rides into this world. We are the ones who lift him up. We are the ones who give him glory. In Exodus 13:13, it says, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. This is what the Israelites are to do. The first offspring, it's especially the first male offspring of every womb was to be given over to the Lord. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. A donkey is only alive and available because it had been redeemed by the blood of a lamb. Every ass born was unclean until it was redeemed by the blood of the lamb. And the reason it was redeemed for the blood of the lamb was for the use. It was for the use of Almighty God, for his purposes, to spread his purposes. And so I'd like to suggest this morning that we donkeys have been redeemed by the blood of the lamb. We are no longer unclean because Christ has redeemed us. He has washed us with his blood. He has drawn us to himself. He has filled us with his Holy Spirit, and he has called us to go forth in this world and be his life in this world as we serve him. The Lord needs you. This morning in Sunday school, we were reminded of the illustration years back, a movie which reintroduced the idea of how profoundly interconnected human beings are. You might remember the movie Pay It Forward. How many of you saw it? Thought it was a great movie. Pay It Forward was the story of a young boy who was given a homework assignment by his teacher to change the world. She said, "You all go out and change the world," and they were given an assignment. And this kid conceived Pay It Forward. It was a scheme by which every person was to do something good or helpful or kind for three other people. And then in turn, each of those three people were to do something for three other people. And the results were exponential and explosive. Because if you start with one person who cares for three people, and everyone keeps that going, eventually the goodness of God is going to reach every human being on the face of the earth. And eventually the good news of the gospel is going to reach every human being on the face of the earth. If the mission of the church is to carry Christ into the world, then I suggest to you that each of us is called to be a donkey. There's no particular glory in being a donkey. There's only long trails, steep roads, heavy loads, and little or no recognition for a completed job. But we're carrying the King of Kings. We're carrying the Prince of Peace. We're carrying the Lion of Judah. We're carrying the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Isn't that worth even the most bizarre actions that Jesus would call us to take? So this week, let's not let the world forget. This is Palm Sunday, and we're waving the palm branches. But let's not let the world forget that the reason that Jesus got onto that donkey was to bring us a different kingdom than this world could ever offer us. Let's not let the world forget the cross of Jesus Christ. It is the means by which Jesus would redeem the world by shedding his blood, by giving his life, by taking all of our sin and our pain and taking it upon himself and going into that tomb, and by the power of God being raised unto eternal life, he became the sacrificial servant for the world's sins. And I encourage us this week to be open to what the Lord needs. I don't know if you've been following Myanmar, formerly Burma, in the news. But Myanmar is my things about what the Lord is doing. People are coming to Christ. These young people are coming to Jesus and leading others to people in their community. And then, pow, the earthquake hits. And everybody left the communities, especially the community that this discipleship school was in. All of the children left and went to higher ground because they could not stay in the buildings. People are sleeping outside, finding a way away from the buildings because they never know when they're going to crash, and they can't even go in to get the food that was in the buildings or their clothing. And so they have one set of clothing on their backs, and that's all they got. And then this week, after the earthquakes, I start getting invitations to give because Wayman Howard in California is sending money to Michael, who is the head of the school. And Michael, instead of making it easy for all of the people in the communities that have not been affected by the earthquakes, Michael is taking these 35 or 45 young people back into the zone. And today they're going to pass out 8,000 sandwiches. 8,000 sandwiches. They are looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, you provide, and we will give it. And so people are providing the sandwiches. They're providing clothing. And then these young people are going into the cities, and they are distributing these caring items and telling people about Jesus and taking the opportunity to tell them that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We live in his kingdom, and we invite you to be a part of his kingdom. I'm going to end with this story. It's one of my favorite stories. It's about a beautiful garden. And of all the beautiful plants in the garden, the most beautiful and beloved plant in the garden to the master was the noble bamboo. And year after year, bamboo grew beautiful. Bamboo grew gracious. Everyone loved looking at the bamboo. He was conscious of his master's love, and yet he was modest and in all things gentle. And one day the master looked at bamboo and said, Bamboo, I need you. Bamboo, I want to use you. And so bamboo flung his leafy head to the sky in utter delight. And the day of days had been growing hour by hour, day by day, in which bamboo would find his completion and his destiny. And his voice came back, Master, I am ready. Master, use me as you want. And the master said, Bamboo, I want to take you and I want to cut you down. And a trembling of great horror shook Bamboo. Cut me down? Me whom you, Master, have made the most beautiful in the garden? Cut me down? Oh, not that, Master. Beloved Bamboo, the Master's voice grew even more serious. If I don't cut you down, I can't use you. And the garden grew quiet. And then came a whisper, Master, if you cannot use me unless you cut me down, then do it. Bamboo, my beautiful bamboo, I want to cut down your leaves. Master, spare me. Cut me down, lay me in the dust, but please don't take my leaves. They've been my shelter. Bamboo laughs. If I don't cut your leaves away, I cannot use you. Bamboo shivered in terrible expectancy. Master, cut away. Bamboo, bamboo, I will also split you in two, and I will cut your heart out, because unless I cut your heart out, I cannot use you. Master, master, then cut and divide. So the master of the garden took bamboo. He took him out. He cut him down. He hacked off the leaves. He divided him in two. He cut his heart out. And then he carried him to where there was a fresh spring, sparkling water in the midst of the master's dry field. And then putting down one end of the broken bamboo by the stream and one end into the field, he gently saw the water channeling through bamboo. The clear, sparkling spring water joyously running down bamboo's torn body into the waiting fields. And then the rice was planted, and the days went by, and the shoots grew, and the harvest came. And in his brokenness, bamboo became a channel of abundant life to his master's world. Brothers and sisters, let's go out and tell this story, because this is not the story of bamboo. This is the story of Jesus Christ. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He was stripped of his beauty. He was spit at. He was cut in two, his heart ripped out. He was laid down in the dirt so that he could serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Master of the universe, channeling the abundant life to our lives. Christ was stripped. He bled. He died in agony. He was raised on the cross so that he could give his life to us. Let's go tell that story this week. And let's leave with this prayer today. Lord, whatever you need, I want to be like bamboo. Lord, take my leaves. Take my greatest possessions that I have. Lord, cut me down. Split me in half. Take my heart, Lord, and let your life flow through me as I share the gospel with others this week. God could be calling us to take some bizarre actions this week. And here's the answer. Yes, Lord. Because the Lord needs it. And I stood at this place right up on the hillside of Jerusalem, right before you come down the Mount of Olives, and you can see everything in Jerusalem. You can see the Via Dolorosa, where Jesus went and bled and died on his way to the cross and then his resurrection. You can see it all from there. And it's there where Jesus said, he started crying. He knelt down and he started crying. And he said, if only they would have known the time of their visitation. If only they would have known the time of their visitation, that Jesus that day on Palm Sunday was coming for the visitation of God. And he's here again. And it's Palm Sunday. And he's calling us. He wants to get on the donkey and ride it. Your vessels. So Lord, we want to be your donkeys. We want you to ride us into this world so that we can proclaim the good news of the gospel. And we want to be ready to say and do anything you want us to do and respond, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. We're going to go get it, Lord. We're going to do it for you. And we are going to proclaim you as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that this week we may not find ourselves again on Easter Sunday simply coming to give praise, but that we might allow ourselves to go through the Scripture, to go through what Jesus went through, to go through his agony, his death, so that we can fully be prepared for the power of his resurrection. Lord, help us not to miss Maundy Thursday. Help us not to miss the cross of Calvary, because that is the central event in human history that changed the world through Christ's death and resurrection. Keep us humble and keep us always aware of the ways that you desire to use us. In Jesus' name, amen.